Welcome to the Junior MBA Coaches Corner with your host, Jay Billis. Today, Jay welcomes Naismith Coach of the Year from the University of Dayton, Anthony Grant. Head coach at Bishop O'Connell High School in Arlington, Virginia, Joe Wooten. And from the Oklahoma City Thunder, assistant coach, Brian Keefe. And now, here's your host, Jay Billis.
Welcome, everybody, to Junior NBA Coaches Corner, a new podcast that's in its second edition. And we are so fortunate to be joined today by three of the best basketball minds in the game today. Let's introduce our guests. First, Brian Keefe, an assistant coach with the Oklahoma City Thunder and one of the top player development coaches in the game. Anthony Grant, the head coach at Dayton. He also coached at Oklahoma City as an assistant to Billy Donovan. He was the head coach at Alabama and VCU, and his team this year at Dayton was 29-2 when the season was abruptly canceled due to COVID-19, and they were headed toward a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And Anthony Grant was recently named the Naismith National Coach of the Year. And last but certainly not least is Joe Wooten, the head coach of Bishop O'Connell High School in Arlington, Virginia, the winner of 5 state titles. I want to welcome all of you gentlemen in and thank you so much for being here. And our topic today on Junior NBA Coaches Corner is coaching philosophy. And all of you have formed a coaching philosophy over your years in the game. And wanted to start with you, Anthony. And if each one of you could go through your coaching philosophy, how you look at the game and approach your job, and where your coaching philosophy came from, how you formulated it.
Yeah. Well, Jay, for me, you know, first of all, it's great to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit. But, you know, I think like all of us, we're all influenced by the people that we're around, you know, and I've been very fortunate that I had a great high school coach in Shaky Rodriguez, and won a lot of championships and taught me a lot about the game. And then I came to Dayton and played for a Hall of Fame coach in Don Donaher. And just being able to be a part of that program, his program for 4 years here, and, you know, on the court, off the court, just the things that I was able to take away as a young man. And then starting my coaching career, I went back and I actually started coaching in high school for, you know, I was one of Shakey's assistants, and then got an opportunity to get in college with the guy that recruited me to Dayton and Dan Hipsher. And then spent 10 years with Billy, you know, so the people that you're around certainly have a big influence on who you become as a coach. But I think even prior to that, I had great parents, you know, so a lot of the values and the things that I try to instill in our young men and the things I believe in kind of come from the people that I've been around. So I tell our guys, there's a lot of different styles, a lot of different ways to win. You know, some people press for 40 minutes, some people play zone for 40 minutes. There's a lot of different styles, a lot of different ways to win. But the things that have to be consistent is your work ethic, your character, and that buzzword that we refer to as culture today. So we try to build everything we do around who we want to be and what our vision of the type of people we want in our organization, from coaches to players. I think it starts with that for us. And then we just try to develop a consistency along the way in terms of what we want to do and how we want to do it.
Before I move on, Anthony, let me just follow up with you, because you raised an interesting point there. You used the term style, as in style of play. Does style of play differ from coaching philosophy? Sort of, you mentioned culture too. So there's a difference, isn't there, between style of play and culture, meaning your core values?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're also intertwined, to be honest with you. You know, like I said, I think there's a lot of different ways that you can win playing the game of basketball. But I also think the habits and the attitudes and behaviors that kind of characterize your team, they kind of define who you are, you know, and the things that go into winning, they don't really change in terms of the work you got to put in, the discipline you got to have, the consistency that you got to be able to play with, and your guys' willingness to sacrifice and support each other. If you're going to win at the highest level, I think those things are consistent. So to me, it's all to me a part of your philosophy and a part of your style of play.
Brian, how about you? Your philosophy and your core values.
Yeah, I have to send him a lot of what Anthony has to say. You know, obviously, it's the people that are around that help you shape who you become. You know, I've been so fortunate starting my coaching career working for a legendary guy named Max Good, who coached at MCI, who a lot of all the college guys would know. and, you know, and being around him. Then, you know, my start in the NBA was with San Antonio Spurs. And I would say it's like, you know, as a young person getting started, it's like kind of like getting your grad degree in basketball, working on under, you know, R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich's leadership, and this is how they approach things on a daily basis. And obviously being around those players and seeing how they carry themselves and their approach and their consistency. And then, you know, from there, obviously I got an unbelievable opportunity to go with Sam Presti and PJ Carlissimo to be part of Seattle / Oklahoma City and really starting an organization from the ground up and seeing how you instill your values and the things that you believe in. And then, you know, the thing that was so unique about that is this, we were being part of a new team in a new state, and how much that basketball is bigger than, sport is bigger than just basketball itself. We were such tied into the community and or woven into the fabric of that state now. And it's such an identity for the people there. That was so unique. But, you know, for me and my own philosophies and stuff, it always starts, I think, from, you know, I had unbelievable parents growing up who were so supportive. And, you know, Anthony talked about that, you know, that buzzword that you mentioned, Jay, culture. To me, it's the culture is really what your actions are on a daily basis. And for me, it's always about how you're going to work every day, your approach. Do you have a growth mindset? Do you really strive and believe that you can get better on a daily basis? The type of teammate that you are you there to care for each other and to bond with each other because you can't do it alone? I think those are the things that stand out for me. All these people that you're around, they help shape you, but you still have to be authentic to yourself. And for me, it always starts with relationships. And, you know, you have to get to know the people you work with, the players you work with. You have to get to know them as people first. You have to build that trust, build that connection, and then you can really start getting into the stuff about trying to, you know, strive to be your best.
Brian, let me follow up with you for a second, because sure. You use the term actions. And I remember Bo Ryan, used to be the coach at Wisconsin, said to me one time about coaching that it's not what you say, it's what you accept. And I took that as being about action rather than just what you say. Is that something that when you mentioned actions and pointed that out, is that something you've really internalized in your coaching?
There's no question, Jay. You know, just being around some of the guys I've been around, I've been so fortunate in my career to be around starting Tim Duncan, you know, obviously the three, you know, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, the three MVPs in Oklahoma, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and now, you know, being around Chris Paul. And then, you know, obviously I've been coached LeBron, and it's your actions and watching guys like that. There's a reason they're great, right? It's their approach. It's their consistency of habits. Those guys are so consistent in how they prepare themselves on an everyday basis. And probably one thing I left out is how you compete. So those coaches and people I work for and those players, it's all about the competitive nature and how you really put yourself on that line and not be really scared of failing and be able to dealing with those consequences. Yeah, so Jay, you're so right on with that. Your daily actions and how you carry yourself, that transmits so much power.
You know, Joe, you've coached in both college and high school. And obviously, if people don't know, you're not only a great coach in your own right, but your father, Morgan Wooten, is one of the great coaches of all time at any level. I'm sure your coaching philosophy came at first from your father, but how did you formulate it from the foundation you got from your dad into what you do today?
So I think I obviously Brian and Anthony said it so well, surround yourself with good people. I think that's so important, and that's the players, that's the assistants, that's the team of support that surrounds the program. So I think surrounding yourself with good people makes you a better coach. And I think that goes back to life skills you're teaching them, accountability, hard work, resiliency, all those great lessons we learn from the game. You do it with good people. So I think that's number one. I was fortunate to be around my father, obviously, and around Coach Wooden at the McDonald's game. So I was incredibly fortunate. And the thing that I took from them was attention to detail and the need to be positive. I just think so many times there's going to be moments in basketball when there's things aren't going well. Stay positive throughout with the kids individually, with the team overall, I think being positive. And then one of the big messages I took from my father was to be yourself. You can't try to be, you know, Anthony's a great coach, Brian's a great coach. I can't try to be them. I can take from them and steal, as we all do as coaches. But the idea that be yourself and be your own personality, because I think the kids can pick up on if you're being genuine. I think so, being a genuine person, Brian mentioned caring about the kids. I think that's so important. And in high school, you know, we're obviously at three different levels. You know, we get them when they're 13 or 14 years old. And they, I always say they come in as boys and they leave as young men. So being that positive influence on their life hopefully will impact them for many years to come.
Joe, if I could, you mentioned accountability. And I think for a lot of players, when they hear the term accountability, they start thinking immediately blame. Like when somebody says accountability, they're trying to blame me. What does accountability mean to a coach?
I think it kind of steals a little bit what you said with Bo Ryan. We like to say it's not what I say to my assistants. It's not what you coach. It's what you emphasize. So what you're emphasizing on a daily basis is what the kids are really going to pick up on. They know what's important to you because you spend time on it. They know it's important to you because you work on it every single day. So I think that's accountability, is really emphasizing the key principles, the key values. So if you're going to be a pressing team, there's going to be three or four things that are really going to be important to you. You're going to coach a lot of things, but you're going to emphasize just a few things.
That's a great point. And I know all of us agree that one of the great things about basketball is when you have a group that puts the we of the game over the me of the game, you know, that's when you can truly be great. And someone we all know and respect as one of the great coaches of the game is Billy Donovan, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder and a former coach at the University of Florida. And he has a great sort of quote soundbite about team and being a member of a team. Let's take a listen to that right now.
I really believe you're always going to be part of a team the rest of your life. You're married and have a family, you're part of a team. You got to sacrifice, and you got to be selfless. You know, you go to work every single day in a job, you got to be selfless and you got to sacrifice for the betterment of the company. You know, you go to a church, you're going to be part of a congregation and a church community. It's very, very rarely that in our lives we're just by ourselves. We're always surrounded by people and always part of a team. And I always have been fascinated and I'm really excited about being part of something that's bigger than me, part of something that I couldn't accomplish on my own. You know, I think sometimes individual goals can be easy to achieve. It's the team goals that become really, really hard because everybody's got to pull together.
Joe, let me start with you. What's your reaction to Billy Donovan's quote there and the importance of we over me in the game?
I think it's spot on. And I think the thing that resonated with me is that he said it's really hard. Individual goals are easy maybe, but the team goals are really hard. And so I think sometimes checking your ego at the door and being part of something greater than yourself is something that we all aspire to be as a team and obviously lead as a coach. So I think that's what really resonated with me.
You know, Brian, on the professional level, is there a greater difficulty in dealing with the professional that is, there can be tension between a player trying to get a contract and a team that's trying to perform together to achieve a common goal?
That can obviously happen, Jay, but I think, you know, the teams that are successful in the NBA, that they kind of get past all those transactional things and they realize that to truly meet the goals that they want to be as players and the truly great ones, you're going to have to do this together. You can't do this by yourself. You know, Anthony, he knows Billy even better than I do. And, this is my first year getting to work with him. I think, you know, watching that video reminds me of like what Billy's all about. And Billy creates a real, you know, really starts that with his coaching staff and how he organizes that and how he empowers everybody to be part of the team. He's really big on the staff chemistry and he makes you really feel empowered. And Anthony can probably speak to that some, but like, and that really transmits to our team. So, you know, being part of something bigger than yourself, I think that's what we're all about as coaches, like being able to go on that journey together. And there's going to be some lot of trials and tribulations of that, but like having that resiliency when things are hard and kind of stick to it. It's that journey that it's all about. And we still have that in the NBA, even though with some of the money involved, no question.
Anthony, how about not only what Brian just said, but Billy's quote?
Yeah, I think it's spot on, you know, and it's really, as Brian alluded to, it's really who Billy is. You know, I can think back to, you know, my time with Billy at Florida, and when we won the first national championship in 2006, and you know, when the game ends, you know, it's kind of, it's a finality to your season. It's over, you know, you just won a championship, but really a part of you is like, okay, well, what's next? What's the next challenge? What's the next mountain to climb? And the finality of it makes you realize, you know what? What really matters is the journey and the people you got to go on that journey with, and the impact of what you guys just did, how it impacts everyone's lives for the rest of their lives when you get a chance to make it about the we instead of the me. And you know, I think as a father, as a husband, you know, you're striving to, you can kind of get pigeonholed into, you know, hey, I got to do my job and do it at a high level, whether it's, you know, trying to win at the high school, college, or pro level. But you also have to also understand you are part of a larger, something bigger than just maybe necessarily that one team that you're a part of. Like at Dayton, you know, it's our basketball team, but it's the university that's impacted by what we do, and the community, the larger community that's impacted. You know, as a husband, you know, the things that your wife's interests and the things that you need to be able to do to help, even though you may have had a long day at whatever you've been doing on your job, when you come home, you know, your family needs your attention, and they need to feel like they're the most important thing to you. So I think we all go through those lessons as coaches, and no matter what we do, or just in life in general, I think we all go through those lessons. So to me, what I took from what Billy said is it's not only true for basketball, but it's true for every walk of life, no matter what it is that we do, that we're always going to be a part of a team. And that's really the essence of life.
Yeah, Anthony, let me start with you on this, because I want to ask each one of you this. You've stepped into the head coaching position at three different institutions. When you take over a program, what's the most important thing for you to establish in putting together your culture?
Yeah, I think it starts with the people. You know, I think, you know, I try to be really intentional about you know, the people that I'm with, whether it's, you know, putting a staff together. I think that's really critical. And then getting a chance to really get to know the players and what motivates them, and, you know, what's been their experience up to that point, you know, and just try to find common ground in terms of, okay, here's what we need to do to move the program in the direction that we need to move it. Because, you know, the truth of it is, anytime we take over jobs, it's in different situations. When I took over at VCU, the situation I took over was completely different than what I took over at Alabama, and completely different than what I took over here at Dayton. So every situation is different. So I think in order to establish who you are in the culture, it starts with you having an understanding of what you value and the people that you need to put around you, and making sure that those people can excel at what they do, and that they support each other, that the pieces fit. So it's that old saying, you not only want to put the right people on the bus, but you want to try to put them in the right seats, so everybody can do the best job that they're able to do, and become the best version of themselves. And then, you know, and then it permeates through the players, because, you know, us as coaches, we get way too much credit when things go right, and maybe too much blame when things go wrong, right? That's just the nature of leadership. But, you know, the people that you put around you, they're the ones that are going to carry your message and try to establish that culture outside of just you as the head coach.
Joe, does that differ at all with regard to a high school program? Because when you're starting a high school program, there's more than just your varsity team. There's also, you know, the players that you're bringing up to get to the varsity. So your junior varsity program. Can you talk a little bit about establishing a program and a culture at the high school level?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of echo what Anthony said, is people. So you need to be able to trust the people that are going to coach the junior varsity team, the freshman team. They're going to work with you in developing the younger players to eventually meet the varsity. I think that's really important. I think it's also, you know, I think COVID-19 has pointed us in a direction that we can't be with our players. And so, you know, really being, and I like the word Anthony said, intentional about building relationships, because the reason we get into coaching is the connection we have with the kids. That's really what it's about. I remember I was my father's JV summer league coach when I was in college, and I just absolutely loved the connection with the kids. And this kind of reminds you, it's not about the drills. It's not about, you know, what offense or defensive schemes we're running. It's about the connection with the kids. And so I think if you can establish for them that you care about them, that you want to see success for them in this individual year, this individual season, and then over a four-year period, and then beyond, that you're going to help them move on to college, I think is so important. We have a saying we say with our staff all the time, and it's from Vic Bubas, who was the coach of Duke in the 60s. He used to say, you got to get them, you got to coach, you got to get them, you got to keep them, and you got to coach them. And we've kind of adapted that to say, you got to get them, you got to build relationships, you got to coach them, and then you got to place them. So helping them move on to the next level. So I think if you can really build that relationship and let them know you care about their success short-term and long-term, then now you've established, you know, a culture and a program that can be successful long-term.
You know, Brian, we've all heard the term trust, and it's been mentioned just in our discussion now, but especially at the pro level, what is trust between player and coach, and what does trust look like?
Well, I think both Joe and Anthony talked about this, like being intentional with your relationships. Like, these guys are at this level for a reason. They're very good players and they've put a lot of time into it, but they're people first. And sometimes it can, with all the stuff that goes on in the NBA, some of that can be masked. They are still people first, and you have to get to know them as people. You got to value who they are. And I think that's not one thing I've always focused on. It's really getting to know them, building that trust factor first. And then the coaching stuff can come really into play. Like, they have, and yet it's your consistency with these guys and your approach with them every day, that they know that you're there for them. You're there, your energy, your enthusiasm, that you're there to help them get better. And then they're all in. But, you know, that relationship part, and I think both guys talked about this, like, it doesn't change, I think, from any level, from, could be, you know, high school basketball, college basketball, NBA. They got to know that you care about them. And then you can really start working.
How about, Brian, your communication style with players? I mean, you know, I'm probably the oldest horse in this barn, but when I was younger, it was acceptable and the norm to get screamed at when you're a player. And we'll get into this a little bit more, but sort of what is your communication style with players?
My communication style, again, starts with relationships, but it's honest and straightforward. I'm not a yeller and a screamer, but if there's something that I believe in and that I have conviction about, I'm at, you know, either to the team or some individual work, I'm going to tell them the truth. They're not always going to agree, not always going to like that. But I think because there's a respect factor that we started with, a trust and a bond that we've connected with already, that they can accept it. If you try to disguise and play games, it never works with anybody, I think, anywhere at any level. And especially with these guys, they're so smart. They've seen everything. And they just want to know, are you competent? So you have to be competent in your job. You have to know what you're doing. But I've always been straightforward, tell the truth, and that has served me well with the guys that I've worked with.
How about you, Joe? Your communication style and the idea of that you hear a lot about today's player, that today's player is different. I may differ with that, but some people really feel that way, that you can't talk to today's player like you did back in the day. How do you communicate with players, and what do you think is the appropriate way to do it?
Well, I think kids are as good today as they've ever been. And I think, you know, they want discipline. They want someone that cares about them. They want honest communication. They want someone that believes in them. So I think if you start with that premise, that's important. I think I've been at O'Connell for 21 years. And as a young coach, I was probably a little more fiery on the sidelines. You mellow over time, you become a little more impatient. But I think, you know, sometimes, and I took this from my father, being understated or sarcastic can sometimes get a point across in a quiet way, much more so than screaming or yelling or cursing at the player. So for example, you could have something as small as you come out of the game and you know, the man drives by one of your top guards and you bring him out, you say, hey, maybe he was a little too quick for you. Sometimes that little needle can get them the right way. So I think a little understatement, a little sarcasm can be effective.
Anthony, how about you? You played for one of the great coaches in the game, Don Donaher at Dayton. One, talk a little bit about his style with you and your team, and then what your style is like communicating with the players.
Yeah, well, Coach Donaher was, he was kind of that you know, father figure, that guy. Like as you mentioned, you know, I'm a product of the 80s. So, you know, when Coach said something, the way he said it, you know, his voice carried weight with all of us, you know. So if he said, hey, we're going to run for an hour, we're going to run for an hour. And that's just what we did. We didn't have to like it, didn't have to agree with it. That's just kind of what we did. So I grew up in an era where your coach was kind of like a second father to you, you know, where you did what you were told to do, the way you were told to do it. And you tried to do it as well as you could. I think we're in an age where, you know, like anything else, like any other business or any other organization, you adapt and you grow, you know. And I think kids now want to kind of know why, you know, because the age of technology, whether it's social media or the internet, you got more access to knowing what goes on across the country, right, and what other coaches do. So I think, Joe, you may have said it earlier, I think at the end of the day, you have to be true to who you are and your personality, and you can't be fake. I think every coach here has said it. So, you know, I'm probably more of I'll let guys know, here's the expectation, here's the standard that we're going to play to, and you're going to be held accountable to that. But I can get that across without yelling and screaming. Whereas a guy I went to high school with, and is one of my best friends, Frank Martin, he's going to be in your face, right? And he's going to be a guy that's just really demonstrative, and he's going to let you know. And some people that don't know Frank may look at him and say, this guy's out of his mind. I can't believe the players play for him. But if you know Frank, he loves those guys like they were his own. And as soon as the ball stops bouncing in between those lines, he's a big teddy bear, is what I tell everybody. You know, and you just got to have – it's about the relationships, and it's about you being authentic and being true to who you are. And I think if the guys that you're coaching know that you're real and know that you're consistent with who you are and that you have their best interests at heart at the end of the day, that you know what you're talking about, you're competent, you know, you have their best interests at heart, then, yeah, I think it all works. So I think it's the way you communicate has to be true to who you are. And obviously, as you can prove that you can help those guys achieve what they're trying to achieve individually and collectively.
Well, you've all mentioned competence, and to me, when you talk about competence in basketball and on the level of being a coach, a head coach, it comes down to being an expert in your field and an expert in your system. And I am a faithful and loyal subscriber to eCoach, the online platform that is just magnificent for coaching, teaching, philosophy of the game, drills, you name it. And Brian, I know you've participated with eCoach. One, what has that provided, and what do you think it provides to coaches, and why is it such a good thing?
Well, through the partnership with eCoach and the NBA Coaches Association, they partnered to build this, like, as you talked about, Jay, this video library of drills and philosophies and fundamentals for all levels. Could be, you know, young players, you know, experienced players, parents, coaches. Like this access to things that, you know, any of us as kids couldn't even imagine getting access to, right? I think like 21 of the 30 NBA head coaches have put stuff on this platform. What a unique thing to be able to go learn from some of the greats. I know none of us had that. We were more just watching, you know, stuff that we saw on or playing down at the park or something. But like being able to take those things to your own game and, you know, what a valuable resource. This is something unique that the eCoach and the Coaches Association has partnered with. And, I feel lucky to be part of that.
Let me ask each one of you, what is one thing that you know now as a coach that you wish you had known when you started? Joe, let's start with you.
I think to talk a little softer, a little quieter, be a little bit more patient. I think, you need to be enthusiastic as a coach and passionate. But, I remember Jeff Jones told me one time, he said, He said, I still get upset. It just takes me a longer time to get upset. So we all are passionate about the game, but I think that that would be one thing I would have been a little calmer a little earlier.
Brian, how about you?
I think this, as you're young, you're talking a lot. You want to get out there and show your presence. But I think as you grow and you're developing your own style, you end up listening more. And you always learn more from the players, and they're probably learning from you. And they're always giving you nuggets that if you can really step back and listen and be a good active listener, they got stuff that is going to be so valuable to your own style. I think, just slowing down, not trying to be so energetic and just kind of, reading the temperature of the room, I like to say. So,
Anthony, what do you wish you knew back when you started that you know now?
Yeah, I think it's just how interconnected the game is. Just from, the high school level to the college level to the NBA level, it's like 6 degrees of separation, so I've been fortunate to coach at every level. And just to see, you talk to someone and just the relationships that you may not know how connected you are to someone, whether it's a guy in the NBA that, maybe, work for someone in college that you have a relationship with and they can kind of put you together, or, just a high school coach that maybe a player you had as an assistant used to play for them, and just how interconnected this game is. It's really a great fraternity of people. And I think, as you kind of get older and you've been through the business, you kind of realize how connected we all are. It's funny, Brian mentioned, this just I worked for Billy for 12 years, we're really 14 years, 10 at Florida, 2 at Marshall, and then 2 in Oklahoma. So we probably had some things that we could talk about and bring us together just because of relationships, or, him being around a Russell Westbrook, for a couple of years, and just stuff like that, we don't really know each other personally, but just how connected you are, what this game really does and how it impacts all of our lives. It's really pretty cool on the other side of 50 to be able to look back, being in the game for 30 years now to see how connected it is.
Well, Anthony, let me follow up with you on that. And I want everybody to comment on this, because we've used the term levels, whether it's high school, college, pro, and that's appropriate. But there's always been something for me, like for the difference in level for a player has to do with two things in my judgment. One is age, and the other is skill level. But I've never looked at coaches as levels. To me, coaching, you have more in common as coaches on different levels than players do. And Anthony, when you look at youth coaches, high school coaches, college, pro, do you see it that way? Or do you think there is a difference in coaches as to level?
I that's a great point. It's funny, when I got into college coaching, I worked for Dan Hipsher at Stetson. It's my first experience coaching in college. And I think I was 26, and had coached in high school for 5 years. And I asked him, hey, what do I need to know? What I want to be as prepared as I can once we hit the floor with our guys. And he made that exact comment. It's like, coaching is coaching, no matter what level you're at. And I think we've talked about it really throughout this podcast, is it's about relationships, and it's about you taking an interest in how you can help other people have success, whether it's through skill development, whether it's through just instilling confidence and instilling a style of play or an idea in terms of how to help the team or how to help the individual become the best version of themselves. So, I think at the end of the day, coaching is teaching, right? That's all it is. I think no matter what level you are, and I've been fortunate that, and again, there's that word level, but I've coached in high school, college, and the NBA. At the end of the day, it's about those relationships, and it's about trying to help somebody become the best that they can become.
Joe, in coaching versus teaching, there's a difference between coaching strategy and your ability to teach. And someone we all know, Mike Bray, who's now the head coach at Notre Dame, has said about you that you're one of the best teachers in the game, period. What is the difference between coaching and teaching, and how does a young coach become a better teacher? not just drills and all that, but how do you become a better teacher?
So I'm very kind of Mike to say that. I think actually going out and working camps, picking guys' brains, I think one of the great things about coaching is that coaches are always willing to help. They're always willing to talk. They're always willing to share an idea, share a drill. And I think obviously you mentioned eCoach before, that's a great platform. But even when it was used to be, you know, on napkins, on paper plates or whatever you did to X and O, move salt shakers around, coaches are always willing to help and share their ideas and give back to the game. So I think that's really a great thing. In terms of teaching, is I think so many times people assume that the player understands. I know my father used to always give an example that Newt Rockne used to hold a football up at the first practice every year and say, gentlemen, this is a football. And obviously making the point that you got to start with the basics. So if you need to explain to someone how to play defense, they may be athletic, they may be talented, but they may not understand how to get in a defensive stance. They maybe were never taught. So I always say to my coaches, if a kid doesn't know how to play, and they'll say, you know, the old statement, kids these days don't know how to play. Well, then it's our job as coaches to teach them. So teach them footwork, teach them how to finish in a variety of ways, teach them how to come off screens the proper way. So I think it's again, paying attention to the details, the fundamentals, and assuming that they don't know so that you can help them grow as people and as players.
Right, and with player development, you're dealing with NBA players, but NBA players don't just come to you with all the same skill levels, all the same, you know, teaching fundamentally when they get there. Do you often have to, I don't want to say start over, but you're starting at different levels with each player. Is that fair to say?
It's so fair. The NBA is very young. And, you know, there's so many guys obviously coming from out of college after 1 year. So, like, they're not there on college campus very long. And, you know, they don't have the opportunities that, like, a lot of us had, you know, learning the game and fundamentals. So we start, you know, we start with the basics and fundamentals. Like, you still, those core things translate all the way through. Even when guys are getting into thirds, you're always working on fundamentals. Could be layups, footwork, passing drills, defensive fundamentals. Those things hold value forever. And being able to teach those things and convey your message to your players and have them actually understand it, I think that is really the key. It's not just about you as a coach spitting out your knowledge. It's about players truly being able to understand what you're saying and embody that in themselves. And then that becoming who part of them and part of their own habits. I think that's kind of what our legacy as coaches, that hopefully those things, and obviously the life lessons we're talking about, but just pure basketball, like that becomes part of their DNA.
Well, Brian, how do you get better as a coach? What do you turn to try to improve?
For me, I like to talk to and connect with as many people as possible and coaches. I've had a great mentor for many years, a guy named Tim Gergerich, who's been someone who's been like a lifelong mentor to me, which all of us would know. I think it's, you have to reach out. And Joe said this is great. Like, coaches want to help. They're teachers at heart, and they want to teach not just players, but other coaches. I've been so valuable to be around so many great people that have wanted to share and give back. And, you're taking all those little pieces and you got to have to go try it on your own though, and see if it fits for you and what works for you. It's always, like everybody said here, being authentic to yourself. But there's so much knowledge. Anthony talked about this connectivity thing, which I was going to mention too. Like, obviously I worked for Billy and he's worked there for a long time, but also with Joe, like years ago, my mom worked for in the city of Boston, putting on a clinic, and Joe's father was there with Red Auerbach and John Wooden. And I got to see that as a part. So you're this connectivity with the coaching world. There's so many things that you just reach out and people will help. And then you got to form your identity from that.
Well, that's such a great message, and it's that's what Junior NBA Coaches Corner really is all about. And staying connected, especially during this difficult time, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, and learning more about the game. And we can't thank each of you enough for joining us and being with us, Brian Keefe, Anthony Grant, Joe Wooten. Thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Junior NBA Coaches Corner. For more information and to access the NBA Coaches Video Library, please visit eatcoachbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Jay each week for the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.